On March 25th, more than 1,000 migrants gathered at the Guatemala-Mexico border to form a refugee caravan and to set off on a 2,000-mile journey to the U.S. border. Now, you might have heard about this caravan. It's actually made up of mostly women and children fleeing violence in Central America. And it was all planned by Pueblos Sin Fronteras, which has organized annual caravans since 2010 to help ensure the safe passage of migrants and also to draw attention to their right to ask for asylum in the United States. But this year, as the caravan grew in size and the media began to cover the journey, U.S. authorities began to take note. And that's where things got complicated. Latino USA producer Andres Caballero has our story.
Days after the caravan left Tapachula, a town in southern Mexico near the Guatemala border, U.S. media started to pay attention. BuzzFeed reporter Adolfo Flores has been covering immigration for several years now, and he decided to fly from Los Angeles and meet up with the caravan.
I was interested in bugging people before they made it to the U.S., just so people understood why people make the journey, and also, you know, why it's hard for Central Americans to travel through Mexico.
Adolfo followed the caravan as they started moving north through Mexico on foot. At one point, he even got on the infamous migrant train known as La Bestia.
I don't think a lot of people understand the dangers that they face.
You've heard this story before. Migrants crossing through Mexico often become victims of gangs and cartels who learn the routes they take. Many are subject to extortion, assault, and rape.
And this group, for them, there's safety in numbers.
Which is why many of these migrants joined the caravan. It was organized by Pueblos Sin Fronteras, a humanitarian organization that works in Central America, Mexico, and the U.S. They plan annual caravans to raise awareness and help migrants travel safely. This time, though, the organizers were surprised by just how many people showed up. Back in the U.S., Fox News picked up Adolfo's story.
This group of migrants, 1,200, marching to America, and the BuzzFeed reporter that's going along with them reporting on it. It's a group called, when you translate it, A World Without Borders or People Without Borders. They're marching to the U.S. border because they want in and they want to make a statement with a reporter touting what they're doing.
And when something goes on Fox News, there's a good chance somebody pretty high up will see it, too.
And then eventually made its way to Trump's Twitter. And just created a situation where everyone is not looking at the caravan.
In other words, a story about more than 1,000 people looking for asylum in the U.S. had now become yet another story about Trump. President Trump responded to news about the caravan with a series of tweets. He wrote, quote, "Congress must immediately pass border legislation. Use nuclear option if necessary to stop the massive inflow of drugs and people. Border Patrol agents and ICE are great, but the weak DEM laws don't allow them to do their job. Act now, Congress. Our country is being stolen."
Bueno, le puedo decir que la mayoría de tiempo me ha tocado luchar bastante fuerte.
If you follow the president's logic, Zenaida Juarez and her six-year-old daughter, Diana Giselle, must be among those trying to steal the country.
Bueno, yo digo que lo he superado.
Zenaida says she managed to join the caravan after what she calls a life full of hardships. And she wants something different for her children. She's currently expecting another child. She says she was raped when she was 14 and was later forced to become her rapist's wife. She then married again, but her second husband was killed due to drug-related violence in Honduras. As for why she joined the caravan, Zenaida says that sometimes mothers will do the impossible to make sure their kids are safe, like joining the caravan on this long walk.
Venir en la caminata.
This group headed to the border. We don't know when they may arrive, but as far as legality, as far as how they would be handled, some are seeking asylum, some say they want to sneak over the border. How would the Border Patrol react to this group of 1,200 approaching the border eventually?
I think the biggest misconception about the caravan in all the coverage, 1,200 people, 1,500 people, we're never going to storm the border and take over the U.S. That was never the plan.
The plan, according to the organizers of the caravan, was to enter the U.S. by exercising international law. Alex Mensing is one of those organizers.
That is still the goal of the caravan, is to, through collective action and through mutual support of the members of the caravan, to lessen the vulnerability to organized crime and to immigration officials who often detain, deport people who have a right to seek asylum.
He says the two main messages they want to direct people's attention to
are that the United States contributes to the root causes of migration in Central America that cause people to forcibly be displaced from their homes. And we need to pay attention to the U.S. influence on Mexican immigration enforcement.
In recent years, the Mexican government has been working with the U.S. government to stop migrants at Mexico's southern border before they reach the U.S. Numbers from the Migration Policy Institute show that in 2015 and 2016, Mexico deported roughly twice as many Central Americans as the U.S. did. Trump's first tweets about the caravan happened on April 1st. Soon after, back in Mexico, the incendiary coverage had made an impact on people.
People were pretty insulted.
Maya Eberbach is a freelance reporter who had also been traveling with the caravan.
One woman said to me was, he's treating us like terrorists. He's treating us like we're a group of thieves. And that's not what we are. We're people who are looking for sort of a better future for our kids.
2 days later, on April 3rd, President Trump continued to pressure Mexico's government to stop the caravan.
I told Mexico very strongly, you're going to have to do something about these caravans that are coming up. And I just noticed that the caravan now, which is toward the middle of Mexico, coming up from Honduras, is breaking up very rapidly. That's because Mexico has very strong immigration laws, as we should have.
That same day, over a week into the caravan's journey, Trump asked for 4,000 National Guard troops to deploy to the U.S.-Mexico border. Just over a week after the caravan began, the Mexican government decided that they would put a stop to it in Mexico City. Some of the migrants were offered legal advice on how to seek asylum in Mexico. Others were given special permission to stay temporarily, and some continued their way to the U.S. border. Here's Maya again.
I think it's unclear how big the group will be that asks for asylum. I think the organizers said in different news reports that they estimated that 10 to 15% of the group will be asking for asylum in the U.S., which is pretty small, or a very manageable number.
It's hard to say what will happen to those still determined to make it to the border. But under U.S. law and policy, once they claim asylum and manage to pass the credible fear test, they're either held in detention or released until an immigration judge decides whether or not they can stay in the country. This process can take years, and the probability for Central Americans to be granted asylum is very low. In the end, the caravan organizers wanted to bring attention to the human right to request asylum, and it definitely got attention, though maybe not in the way the organizers hoped. Maybe years ago, it wouldn't have been such a huge story. But in these times, it seems almost inevitable that the story would spiral out the way it did. On the other hand, the fact that more than 1,000 people showed up to this year's caravan in the first place could be taken as a sign that a deeper story, a deeper problem, demands attention.
That was Latino USA producer Andres Caballero.